Okay, thank you. Hi. I almost forgot to come, even though I was listening. I was also working and just so focused on my work, that I almost forgot to come. It's funny, sitting right here and almost forgot to come. That's the way it works, right? But fortunately, I'm here and I'm going to start us off with a song. So let me share my screen. So this is a cover of True Colors. I think I've played it once before somewhere. I don't know if it was a weekly gathering or what, but I think I've played it once before. It's really sweet. It's a brother-sister duet.
Discouraged, oh, I realize it's hard to take courage in a world full of people. You can lose sight of it all. The darkness inside you can make you feel so small. Show me a smile. Don't be unhappy, can't remember when I last saw you laughing. This world makes you crazy, and you've taken all you can bear. Just call me up, 'cause I will always be there. And I see your true colors shining through. See your true colors, and that's why I love you.
So don't be afraid to let them show
your true. I see your true color shining through.
Colors.
I see your true colors, and that's why I love you. So don't be afraid to let them show your true.
These two singing that, I can't help but wonder if they're singing about somebody they know and love, a parent or a sibling, because there's just so much emotion, when they sing it. And I just kind of want to say that, This is kind of coming from compassion, in case the words are misunderstood. I just want to say that I'm sorry that there are so many people that are suffering from mental agony in the world today. And I'm sorry that people don't realize that they don't have to believe their thoughts. I know there are a lot of people who are really suffering. They walk around and they put on these brave faces. And so most of us don't know how much they're suffering, but they're suffering a lot. And I really think that shows on the faces of these two young people, although I don't know why I think they're thinking of someone else. I don't think they're singing about themselves. But anyway, to everyone who's suffering, I'm sorry. And with that said, I'm going to start the Tao Te Ching. So I always seem to pick up Derek Lin first, so I'm picking up Derek Lin. We are at chapter 26. Heaviness is the root of lightness. Well, that's kind of interesting right after the song we just saw. Heaviness is the root of lightness. Quietness is the master of restlessness. Therefore, the sages travel the entire day without leaving the heavy supplies, even though there are luxurious sights, they are composed and transcend beyond. How can the lords of 10,000 chariots apply themselves lightly to the world? To be light is to lose one's root. To be restless is to lose one's mastery. So one thing, you know, we're going to go look at a couple other translations because it always helps to look at a few translations when you're reading the Tao. But there are a few things I'd like to comment on first. I'm actually going to start with the first sentence of this third stanza. How can the lords of 10,000 chariots apply themselves lightly to the world? Remembering, of course, that the Tao, it is said, was actually written for kings. So if you imagine that this was written from kings, and just imagine for a moment all of the responsibility that kings have. I mean, today alone, you know, today alone, in just this little bitty life of Regina Don Acres, I have several things on my work schedule to do. I have packing of a condo to do. I'm attempting to schedule several things so that all of the things fall out just right for the timing of the closing of two different places. Someone stopped me on the street and asked for information about what there is to do in La Vida, and I promised him an email with all these directions because he doesn't know where to go or what to do, and he's got his family with him. You know, it's just all this stuff in one day. And one thing I've been aware of my mind doing, you know, just kind of chattering like in the background about, you know, how I just can't handle all this. I just can't do all this. You know, this is just too much. I just need to tell someone I can't do something. And I have the sanity to know that that voice doesn't have a clue what it's talking about. I mean, I can't tell you how I'm going to get from this point in the day to bedtime and get the things that are to be accomplished done. I just can't tell you. I can't tell you how I'm going to be ready for the move in time for the move. And I can't tell you how I'm going to get all these little things scheduled that have to be scheduled. But I know that things always work out. And so I'm able to just kind of move through this without giving too much attention to, I'm going to call it the temptation to feel overwhelmed. That's a great word for it, the temptation to feel overwhelmed. But when you look at this verse, how can the lords of 10,000 chariots apply themselves lightly to the world? I mean, this is just the little life of Regina that I described. Can you imagine being a king, a president, a governor? You know, somebody has an enormous amount of responsibility. And yet, seeking to move through that responsibility, aligned with the Tao in inner peace, without giving in to the temptation to be overwhelmed. I mean, I don't know about you guys, but it's just like, wow, you know. Imagine if you were responsible, not for your little life, but for the United States of America. Right? Imagine you're Donald Trump, our current president, and you're responsible for the United States of America. And you've got all kinds of things going on. I saw something about Putin threatening us with nuclear weapons. I think he was threatening. I didn't really read the article, but I think he wasn't threatening to shoot us. I think he was threatening to increase their stock of nuclear weapons. You know, there's the mass shootings. The truth is, Regina doesn't even know what all is going on in the world, but I'm sure the president has a much better idea. Just so much going on. And in spite of the fact that he's Donald Trump and he may think he's bigger than life, he is still just one human, right? He is still just one human. How do you get through a day with all there is that appears to need attention in a day without losing touch with the Tao? That's the question. If we look back at the top, it says heaviness is the root of lightness. And then if we look at the bottom, it says to be light is to lose one's root. I'm real curious about what the other translations say about that. When I read heaviness is the root of lightness, what I really thought about was I'm trying to find the words. There's an awakeness that lies in the pain, in the suffering, in the craziness. You know, like Buddha said something once about to see the suffering is to see the way out of suffering. And in fact, last night in the Seven Steps to Awakening, I think my book is all the way across the room. But last night in the Seven Steps to Awakening, we read a quote about Nisargadatta that said, from Nisargadatta, it said something like the insanity, seeing the insanity is the beginning of sanity, right? Here we have it again. Heaviness is the root of lightness. Now, this isn't true for everyone. I mean, some people just go into the pain and get lost in the pain. But also, the pain can be that place that pushes us to seek something better, to seek something more, to seek freedom, right? The pain can be like an alarm clock. You know, I think the line that Helen Schuckman used and Bill Thetford used was, what was it? There's got to be more than this. There's got to be something better than this. Does anybody remember that line that was the beginning of the course coming? Yeah, I think Don's going to type it in for me. There's got to be a better way. Yeah, you see? So the pain can be the catalyst to the freedom. So that's what I thought about. And we'll see again what these other translations say. But that's what I thought about when I read heaviness is the root of lightness. And then when it says quietness is the master of restlessness, what I read into that was when I am able to go through my day without losing touch with the Tao. But the word master sometimes implies control, but I don't think it's control. It's wisdom. You know, like I said, today alone, you know, I can hear that little voice telling me, you know, I can't do all this, you know. And not only am I trying to do all this, but there are a couple people that are trying to, you know, I'll make a decision. Okay, I'll do it this way. And then there are a couple people say, well, you can't do it that way. You got to do it, you know. So I have a couple little other, you know, what we call backseat drivers here that want me to redo my work. Because they're not doing the work. They just want to have opinions. But, you know, with all of this that's going on, I can see the little voice saying, you know, basically be overwhelmed, be freaked out, be angry, be scared, be, you know, it wants me to fall into the wrong mind. That's what it wants. It wants me to fall into the wrong mind, and it's sending nonstop invitations. Yeah. And so quietness is the master of restlessness. What that says to me is the master is the one who has learned not to take those, not to accept those invitations, right? Or fear the invitations. You can't fear the invitations. You have to see the invitations as just being chatter, as having no relevance, of having no real meaning. You have to know yourself better than that. And knowing yourself is knowing your true self, knowing the entire universe. That's your true self. You got to know the entire universe is conspiring for your success. Right? You have to know your true self. And just because you don't have it figured out, I mean, you don't have to. You're just one little dot in that entire universe that's conspiring for your success. Right? So you don't have to know everything. You don't have to have it all figured out. And when you know yourself, then you're the master of restlessness. I'll tell you how much I know myself. Today, as all these little invitations have been coming, because they're actually coming at a faster rate today than they normally do for me, I literally wondered if this wasn't preparing me for a teaching. You know, like in order to provide the teaching first, I had to have this little experience. Like that's how much I know the universe. So when you trust the universe implicitly, when you know that everything is conspiring for your success, then even a day with a louder mind than usual is seen as this must have a benefit I have not yet discovered. You know, like probably my mind's louder today because it's going to help me teach something later on today. And I think even Jacqueline is probably already learning that sometimes she might have an experience, you know, that we might call a fearful or a stressful experience, and she'll work her way through it, and then she has to write a tip. And she can write the perfect tip because she just had this experience. You see, even, you know, and I've already learned this. You know, I've already learned this. So when my mind was a little more chattery today, one thought that flew by was, wow, you know, maybe I'm going to have to teach on this later today. And here it is coming up already. I mean, I didn't know it for a fact, but it's just that I've had this experience so many times. So when you know yourself, you know that everything in the universe is conspiring for your success. And you don't want to define what that success is, by the way. Right? You have to take that lightly too. But everything in the universe is conspiring for your success, and then you're the master of restlessness. You don't fall into those invitations because you know yourself. So again, the first stanza, heaviness is the root of lightness. Quietness is the master of restlessness. There's something else that needs to be said about this. quietness, it's not saying quietness is the result of being the master of restlessness. It says quietness is the master of restlessness. So the way that I looked at my chattering mind this morning was as quietness. I'm not chattering back at it. You know, so an example of chattering back to it might be, there's no way you can get all this done. Why would she give you, you know, so much work to do in one day when she knew you already had a full day? How are you supposed to do this too? You know, and then me chattering back, well, you know, maybe I can just not do this and then I can get this work done that she gave me instead. You know, maybe I can skip that. That's not too, you see, that's me getting involved, right? And that's what a lot of people do. You know, they kind of get involved with the mind and they're trying to resolve it. They're trying to make themselves feel better, but it's not, yeah, engaging the judge, Jacqueline says. It's not being quiet. This says quietness is the master of restlessness. Just letting the mind chatter and me not having any comeback, just quietly letting it be, knowing that it doesn't know what it's talking about, and knowing who I am, which is the universe, which is inspiring for success, for conspiring for success and inspiring for success. That was a good Freudian slip. So heaviness is the root of lightness. Quietness is the master of restlessness. And then the last stanza, how can the lords of 10,000 chariots apply themselves lightly to the world? I mean, my God, how can Regina, you know, pack a condo for a move, prepare for two closings, write this guy an email about what to do in La Vida, check two MPP self-study, you know, homework, do this research that has to be done before the board meeting and whatever else is on my calendar, you know, how can I do all that? You know, that's really what this question is saying. How can the lords of 10,000 chariots, oh no, it's not saying how can I do all that. I misspoke. It's saying how can I remain in touch with the Tao? How can I remain light with all of that quote hanging over me, you know? How can the lords of 10,000 chariots apply themselves lightly to the world? And then it says, to be light is to lose one's root. To be restless is to lose one's mastery. So that's a little, I understand to be restless is to lose one's mastery. And I might understand to be light is to lose one's root. But before I say I understand that for sure, what I would like to do is look at some different translations. So let's pick up Dr. Wayne Dyer. Dr. Wayne Dyer said, choke, the heavy is the root of the light. The still is the master of unrest. Realizing this, the successful person is poised and centered in the midst of all activities. Although surrounded by opulence, he is not swayed. Why should the lord of the country flit about like a fool? To let yourself be blown to and fro, you lose touch with your root. Ah. To be restless is to lose one's self-mastery. So you know what could make this seem confusing? Is because the word root in the first stanza does not have the meaning that originally occurred to me when I read it in this translation. When I read heaviness is the root of the light, as you guys know, I talked about how you go into the darkness and it can propel you, right, to seek a better way. That's not what this means. Of course, it kind of makes sense because we're looking at Chinese. And, you know, the Chinese, you know, like their symbol of darkness is much different than our symbol of darkness. Our symbol of darkness is, darkness means evil for us. And for them, darkness just means mysterious, unknown. And so they refer to the Tao as darkness, which sometimes confuses Westerners when they first read the Tao because we think of darkness as evil and we expect the Tao to be the light, right? But they're saying it's mysterious, unknown. So when I read heavy, I read heavy with a heaviness with a Western mind. And I thought of heaviness, especially after seeing that song, right? I thought of heaviness as being, emotional suffering of some type. Heaviness, I think, means more like anchored. Anchored in your center. That's what it means here. The heavy is the root of the light. To be anchored in your center is how you be light in this day, you know, even though you're the Lord of 10,000 chariots, you have all these things that you're responsible for. You have to remain rooted. That's what this heavy means. The heavy is the root of the light. And of course, the still is the master of unrest. Realizing this, the successful person, so here we're not the Lord of 10,000 chariots, we're just a successful person. Realizing this, the successful person is poised and centered in the midst of all activities. Although surrounded by opulence, he is not swayed. Why should the Lord of the country flit about like a fool? I love that line, you know. In fact, today when I talked about those inner invitations, although I didn't use the words flit about like a fool, and I don't remember what words were there, there was this invitation to see myself as kind of just touching the surface of what needed to be done, even though I was moving a lot. I wasn't going deeply into one project. Actually, probably what I've already accomplished today has probably been pretty damn amazing. But that's not what my mind was saying. My mind was kind of saying, you know, I'm kind of flitting around at the top of the surface, and I'm not diving deep. I'm not going to get things done this way. Somehow I have to settle down and dive deep into one project. So my mind today wanted me to believe I was flitting about like a fool. And it, again, that was just another invitation that I didn't pay attention to. But flitting around like a fool and being centered in the quiet are opposites. Flitting around like a fool is following the chattering mind. I want to say doing and undoing things. You know, it kind of reminds me of doing and undoing things. Like if you were the leader of a country, you might give an order, walk away, start to doubt yourself, hear a different point of view, go back, change the order, walk away, get advised by somebody else, go back, change the order again, right? That's what flitting around like a fool kind of means to me. And you're not centered. You're not in guidance. You're not sure of where you are to be, what you are to be doing. And it's easy to get that feeling of flitting around like a fool when you have so many things going on at the same time. You know, and you're getting, and again, today I've also had the experience of a couple of people, you know, like I'll make a decision and start moving in a direction, and then somebody else pops in telling me that I should do it differently. You know, those types of things can cause you to feel like you're flitting around like a fool. And when that happened to me today, and that feeling arose, I asked, what am I to do now? That was my response. And the answer was, do nothing now. Just let it stay as it is. And then about an hour later, an idea arose about how I could easily change the direction and go in the direction that this other person wanted me to. That idea wasn't there originally, though. So if I had been trying to change the direction then, it would have felt like a lot of hard work. At that point, I was guided to do nothing. I actually took a walk. I had to get something from the retreat house, so I chose to walk up and get it, which the ego said was a waste of an hour because I didn't have time to walk to the retreat house when I could have just jumped in the car and gone and been back in 5 minutes. But I walked. And when I got back from the walk, that's when the idea arose about how to change directions easily. So I guess the point of that story is when someone came to me wanting me to undo a lot of work that I had just done and wanted me to change directions and move in a different direction, what I did was go within. And I think that's the opposite of flitting around like a fool. I went within and asked, what am I to do now? And I was told, do nothing now, just let it stay as it is. And then, you know, then the feeling arose to go for a walk, and I went for a walk. And I guess that's all there is to say about that. So why should the lord of the country flit about like a fool? If you let yourself be blown to and fro, you lose touch with your root. To be restless is to lose one's self-mastery. So again, it's all about staying in touch with within, in spite of what appears to be an outer chaotic situation. So we can either let ourselves feel like we're a part of the chaos, or we can just go within and trust. And you know, there's something amazing about trust. I mean, even today, like I said, I think I'm having this day so I can go through this teaching. But like I said, there's so many things that I am responsible for today, both work-wise and personal-wise, that I couldn't even sit here and list them for you. Like, I couldn't. If I sat here and said, I got to do this and this and this and this and this, I just couldn't do it. I'd have to go look at my calendar and look at my pile of papers over here. And, you know, I just couldn't do it. It's impossible. If I let all of that stuff be on my mind and I try to worry about all of that stuff at the same time, what do you think I'm going to feel like? Yeah, Dawn's expression, too bad that won't be on the audio. Yeah, she's going to go boom. You know, her expression kind of shows it. It's just going to be insanity. So the only way that I can the only way that I can survive is the way I put it, but what I mean by survive is stay happy, genuinely happy. The only way that I can survive is to trust my feeling for what I am to do now, give my attention to what I am to do now, literally forget everything else and trust all things. That's the only way I can survive. And you can't do that if you think you as a person has to be successful. If you take on that burden, that you as a person have to be successful, you will also have to be stressed or insane. You have to trust that your part is what you are being told to do now. And you know, whatever comes up next for you to do, that's your part. And somehow the universe is conspiring, I'm going to say, for its own success. It's funny because Wayne Dyer said, the successful person is poised and centered. And I just said, you know, you can't think that you have to be successful. So it's kind of funny. It's almost like I'm contradicting him. But I'm going to say the successful person isn't the one that gets all this done. The successful person is the one that is poised and centered. Right? And maybe gets all this done, but that's not the point, right? It's the poised and centered that's the point. Let's see what Stephen Mitchell says. Stephen Mitchell says, the heavy is the root of the light. The unmoved is the source of all movement. And that's a really interesting line too, because the others really said more like quietness is the master of restlessness. They kind of were aligned there. He says the unmoved is the source of all movement. So let's just find that within us right now. I mean, you know, I'm sure I'm not the only one here with a busy day, right? In fact, let me switch into gallery mode. I'm actually sitting here looking at Don, which I don't know why, I just am. Okay, now I'm not just looking at Don. So everyone who feels they have a busy day today, would you please raise your hand? Okay. So, okay, Andy had to turn on his screen so he could raise his hand. you can turn it back off if you like, Andy, whatever. Thank you for doing that. Yeah, so I'm not the only one today that has a busy day. So you guys, you know, it's not really imagining too much to imagine. Oh, Francine's even raising her hand. So it's not really too much for you then to imagine maybe the stress or the overwhelm of so much to do. So let's, in spite of that invitation to be stressed or overwhelmed or even afraid that I can't get it all done, what I would like you to do is I would like you just to pause and find the unmoved, the non-movement. And stillness is another word, the stillness in you, the root, the heavy, which is different than what we usually mean heavy, but anchored. Just pause for a moment. One thing I'm noticing as I'm saying this is I'm pointing right here. I don't know where you feel, but I'm pointing right here at my chest as I'm saying that. Funny thing is, I notice I'm not pointing at my head. Isn't that funny? I'm not pointing at my head saying, can you please find that still point? Can you please find that anchored point, right? Because that's not it, is it? You might point at your chest. You might point at your gut. But, you know, somewhere in the core of our being rather than in the head. That core of our being, lately I've been reading Bernadette Roberts, and just before her I read Ramana Maharshi. They point to this area of the body, and they say that is the seat of consciousness, the seat of the true self. So just imagine for a moment that part of you is completely connected to the entire universe. Not the head. That's the separation part of you. You know, that's the part of you that's off on its own little trip, having its own little story, having its own little point of view, right? If you listen to it you're flitting about like a fool, right? But this core, whether it's the heart, the belly, the gut, this still, this unmoved, is literally connected to the entire universe. And then listen to this sentence. The unmoved is the source of all movement. This core, this connection to the entire universe is the source of not just your movement. It didn't say is the source of your movement. It's the source of all movement. You are connected to all humans, to all events through the core. So by staying in touch with the core, you not only know your role, your part, but let's just say, you know, there's a line in the Bible that says you don't really have to ask because your Father knows what you need before you do. But we all know there isn't really some Father up there in heaven saying, hey, I think she needs some help today. I'm sitting it down. You know, that's just fantasy. But let's look at this line differently. What if there's a literal, when we stay in touch with the core and we stay centered in the core, there is a same communication with the entire universe about what needs to be done. You know, we don't have to think it. It's not up here in the head. I'm going to call it unconscious. About what needs to be done, what's really important. This isn't thinking. It's an unconscious, silent communication connected to the whole, and simply by staying in touch with our core, that communication is completely unblocked, and everything that needs to show up shows up. Everything that we need to know to play our part, we know, and we play our part. Simply by staying in touch with this core, instead of getting lost in the head, everything can be in harmony. And everything can happen exactly the way it's supposed to, because the unmoved is the source of all movement. Because we're in touch with that source, and we're in touch with that core in ourselves. And that makes staying in touch with the core much more important than just my own personal sense of peace today. It really means that I am enabling the universe. I am assisting the universe in being successful by staying in touch with the genuine communication device, which is the core, not the head. I'm plugged in. Right? I'm plugged in rather than unplugging myself and flitting about like a fool. So, the heavy is the root of the light. The unmoved is the source of all movement. Thus, the master travels all day without leaving home. And Jarek Lin said, therefore, the sages travel the entire day without leaving the heavy supplies, which I didn't understand. Like, what's that mean? You know, like they're carrying all this stuff around. That doesn't sound so great. But heavy supplies, if we think of heavy as being anchored, we're not leaving that supply, the supply that you get when you're anchored, right? So therefore, sages travel the entire day without leaving the heavy supplies. Therefore, the master travels all day without leaving home. Do you see? And Wayne Dyer says, realizing this, the successful person is poised and centered in the midst of all activities. You can see how all of these translations, although the words are very, very different, they're all saying the same thing. It's about staying connected with that core instead of flitting about with the invitations of the head. Thus, the master travels all day. We go from thing to thing when we have lots of things to do, right? We travel all day. We go from thing to thing. without leaving home. However splendid the views, she stays serenely in herself. Let's see what Derek Lynn said about that. Even though there are luxurious sights, they are composed and transcend beyond. And again, Wayne Dyer had said something like, although surrounded by opulence, he is not swayed. So that's an interesting thing to contemplate because, you know, when I think about being the Lord of 10,000 chariots, I think about more things to do than I can. So what does this mean, you know, and I'm sitting here looking at the West Peak, you know, what does this mean? However splendid the views, she stays serenely in herself. To me, we all have good days and bad days. You know, if you allow me to throw that out in that language, you know, we today is, you know, a very, very busy day. Not all of my days are that way. I mean, tomorrow, Shauna and Jay and Jacqueline and Cheryl and I are going to get in the van and we're going to go to Crestone. And my guess is it'll be an easy to have a good day tomorrow unless something really unexpected happens, right? We're not going to have this huge task list that we have to make ourselves through. So that means that tomorrow we have to stay anchored in our core too, not just today. And I've told people this before that this is one of the areas where I find I have to really watch myself, that sometimes when I'm really having fun, really having a good time, I literally go completely into the world. I don't stay anchored in my core. And that's one of the things I'm working on. Like last week, I went kayaking in this beautiful, beautiful lake, just gorgeous. And I practiced staying in awareness the whole time I was there. I didn't want to get so into the beauty that I forgot my core. So at least what this is saying to me is that the true master isn't just in touch with the core on the what could be stressful days. That the true master is in touch with the core on the what could be easily peaceful days, you know, from an outward perspective too, right? And in fact, last night, another one of the quotes we looked at, I shouldn't have left the seven steps all the way across the room, but another one of the quotes we looked at last night was about how the ego wants to continue, or the false self wants to continue pleasantly, right? Which means one time that we may forget truth, forget our true self, is when everything is going fine. You know, this is why Jesus said that it was harder for the camel to go through the eye of the needle than for the rich man to inherit the kingdom of God. The rich man in this case was the one who everything is going easily for him. He has servants taking care of everything he wants the servants to take care of. His family has everything they need and want. He can travel and go where he wants, and he has servants accompanying him. You know, this is the way it was with the rich man, right? And Jesus said it's easier for the camel to go through the eye of the needle than it is for that rich man who has it so easy to enter the kingdom of God. And Nisargadatta said, the false self wants to continue pleasantly. So we have to remember to stay in touch with our core, not just today when there's this incredible to-do list, but tomorrow when we go to Crestone too. You know, we have to stay in touch with our core, whether it seems to be a heavier, more stressful day, or a lighter, easier day. I noticed when Laurent was with me, Laurent was very challenging for me. And as a result of being very challenging, I stayed very, very focused within. You know, he would say something to me, my mind would shoot off something, how I was to react to that. But I would go within. I would say, you know, what am I to say? What am I to do? I would receive a response and I would respond to him. And the entire time I was with Laurent, I was very plugged in because it was so challenging. But when he left and it got easy, I actually forgot to stay plugged in. And what I noticed about a month or so after he left was the ego mind was in control of me again, just like that. And in fact, what I did was I sat down and I prayed about that. I asked for help. And that's the prayer that's in the beginning of Inner Ramana, because that's when Inner Ramana came. It was that slipping during a time of ease that caused me to ask for help. You know, so I went back into the pain, and the pain pushed me to ask for help, and Inner Ramana came. But what I want to accentuate here is that I slipped during that time of ease. The false self wants to continue pleasantly. So we have to be really, really careful to stay in touch with our core, regardless of whether the day is a more challenging day or a super easy, very peaceful, sitting on top of a mountain, gorgeous weather day. Lots of wildflowers, you know? We got to stay in touch with our core. We got to stay plugged in to consciousness. Because we want to. I'm using the word gotta, but it's gotta because we want to. If it's how we stay in harmony with ourselves. It's how we stay with what we truly want. That's what I mean by gotta, right? Yes. If you don't, you don't. It's not a sin or anything. But you're not in harmony with what you really want, right? So the master travels all day without leaving home. However splendid the views, she stays serenely in herself. Why should the lord of the country flit about like a fool? If you let yourself be blown to and fro, you lose touch with your root. And of course, letting ourselves be blown about to and fro is by giving our attention to our head and all of its invitations to be crazy. If you let restlessness move you, if I move around based on that head, that is the restlessness. If you let restlessness move you, you lose touch with who you are. Then you're just this crazy, separated person who has to get it all done. Or else what? Or else you're a loser. Yeah, you suck. Yeah. that's the option. That's the option the head gets, right? Those are the only choices. You got to get it all done or you suck. Yeah. So now I feel so peaceful after doing that teaching. I'm thinking, how in the heck am I going to get any work done? But I'm sure that when I let go of this mic, of course, I'll be listening to Jacqueline next. So that makes it easy to know what work comes next. I can't really do mental work and listen at the same time. Got plenty of packing work. So I'll be putting Jacqueline on speaker and get an hour worth of packing done. And then after that, ask within and see which task is to be accomplished next. I bet you guys $1. Who wants to take this bet that I get through the whole day? Everything turns out okay, right? Right? Yeah, of course, because the universe is conspiring not for my success, just for success. But I'm a part of that, right? Okay, well, it's a couple minutes early, but the truth is I have nothing else to say. So, Don, I'm going to turn it over to you, and I want to thank you guys for hanging out with me. I love the fact that so many of you are having a day just like me, and yet you took the time to come here for this. Maybe, just maybe, we've got our priorities straight. Huh? All right. Bye.